and we'll go through the text in a minute. Providence is, as I would define it, not necessarily as everyone else would define it, is God's working in the midst of normal circumstances. It doesn't mean he doesn't promise that nothing bad will happen, nothing difficult will happen, because we see it on the news every day. I would not necessarily apply Joseph's life to tragedy, because I think that's almost in a different category by itself, though it might in some distant way apply. God allows evil and hatred in this world, just as he allowed Joseph's brothers to hate him and do things to him. But in the midst of it, in Joseph's life, we learn the providential hand of God in the normal circumstances in life. So let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Encourage us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Joseph has been sold into slavery, lied about, thrown into prison, and now he interprets one of the dreams. And he says in verse 14, he gives a plea for help. He says, but think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. Joseph felt his pain, and we'll get into that in a minute, though he trusted in God. And here is this moment where he's now been thrown into prison, and now he's interpreted the one's dream, who's going to go back to Pharaoh, and he says, when it turns out good, would you please, please tell Pharaoh of the circumstances I'm in? Indicating that Joseph was not just some robot who just said, well, trust Jesus and praise the Lord, and that's it. He felt his pain in the midst of it. Let me remind you, and I want to review very quickly what we have said so far. In the providential hand of God, God works in circumstances. Though his brothers wanted to kill Joseph, Reuben heard it and protected him. He provided an alternative direction by allowing the Ishmaelites to come, and they sold him into slavery to bring him down to Egypt. God worked through people, ordinary people, those with a good motive. Reuben had a good motive, wanted to help Joseph and keep him from being killed. He works through people who have evil motives. The brothers wanted to sell him into slavery and make money out of it. And they were evil in their approach, and yet God used that circumstance to bring Joseph to where he needed to be. He was put into prison by Potiphar's wife, by her lying about him. An evil, wicked motive, and yet God protected him and put him in the place where he needed to be. He was protected by people with no motive. That's the providence of God. He takes people with good motives, people with evil motive, people who not have any motive, who are just living their lives, and yet God sovereignly, providentially works it out to Joseph's good. The Ishmaelites were just coming by on their way to Egypt to make profit, and so they said, hey, let's sell them. And that's how he wound up in Egypt. Pharaoh became angry at his two servants and threw them into the prison where Joseph just happened to be. A normal everyday circumstance, a normal everyday thing that was happening, yet God providentially was making sure that it all worked out for Joseph. Remember, God prospered Joseph. When he was sold into slavery, the Lord was with Joseph and his master was pleased with him. He was loved by someone else. Others loved him and took care of him. Even though his brothers hated him, he found others who loved him and encouraged him. He was blessed and caused others to be blessed because of his servants of God. And we said the perspective on suffering. What did he do? He was faithful where he was. He looked for God's blessing in the midst of the trial, even though it was a trial. He did not yield to temptation. Often sinfulness comes out of people's trials and needs. And yet he said no. His faithfulness enabled him to be available to be of servant to the chief baker and cupbearer. God worked in his life to bless others. He was aware of others' needs, even in the midst of his troubles and trials and difficulties. He acknowledged faith in God, even though his problem had not been solved. He said, you know what? God can interpret this dream, so I'll help you out. He knew God was still there, even though God had not solved his problem. He helped someone else in the midst of his suffering. Even though he was going through suffering, he helped someone else in the midst of it. God loves you. I can't answer. I cannot answer tragedies. I cannot answer suffering. I do not see it as God in heaven just sort of striking us. It's part of this world we live in. It's part of the evil we live in. But God sovereignly works, as he did in the life of Joseph, in your life. The key is, you may not know what God's doing. You see, every day I leave, I know that God is sovereignly working in my life, encouraging me and helping me, but I may not have any idea what he's up to. My responsibility is just to be faithful, to serve him, to be an instrument for him to use me. My job is simply to be a servant and trust him and know that God is taking normal, everyday circumstances and weaving them to good. But having said all that, we must understand that Joseph did suffer. Look, if you will, in chapter 40, verse 15. He continued on and telling him this. He says, for indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. The time frame is approximately, give or take, 11 years since he's been sold into slavery. In Potiphar's house, he prospered for quite a while, but now he finds himself in prison. What's interesting, Joseph did not just go, oh, well, I trust the Lord. It's all worked out. Everything's okay. Yes, he trusted the Lord, but here was an opportunity when he interpreted his dream, the cupbearer's dream, that he knew he was going to go back to Pharaoh, the man in charge. So Joseph said, please, 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 listen to me. When your circumstance turns out good, would you please tell Pharaoh about my problem? And what did he describe him as? One, I was stolen out of the land of the Hebrews. One says he was kidnapped. That was his estimation of what happened to him. Joseph, what happened to you? Well, first thing is, I was kidnapped and taken away from my land. I don't know if he meant he didn't know the brothers sold him for slavery. He may not have even known that they made money off. He may not have known that. But his perspective was, listen, you don't know what I've gone through. I was stolen, kidnapped, and taken away from the land and brought to this place. That's the first thing that's happened. Second thing is, and I have done nothing that they should put me into this dungeon. Secondly, I didn't do anything. I was faithful. I was lied about. I didn't do a single thing wrong, and yet they put me in this prison. I read that to let you know, Joseph was not unaware of his problem. He felt his problem. But in spite of all of that, he was still faithful. He still trusted in God. But I say this morning to let you know that I don't know from these verses all that Joseph felt, but for 11 years, I am sure that Joseph felt hurt. And I'm sure he felt pain. Because his response is, listen, fella, would you please tell the Pharaoh that I've been kidnapped and I've been put in this prison for no reason? Would you please tell him so I can get out of here? Do you sense in those words the pain that he felt? He didn't just say, well, I'm trusting the Lord. He'll take good care of me, which he was. He was trusting the Lord, but he felt his pain. He knew he hurt. And he was pleading for this man, oh, you're going to go back to Pharaoh. I've interpreted your dream. It's going to turn out good. Would you please tell him? my problem. Can you kind of feel how it would feel? For 11 years, you've been wronged, you've been hated, you've been lied about, and here is your one opportunity to get out of this situation. Would you please tell him? Do you kind of feel the pain that he felt? In the midst of life and the midst of God's care for us, it doesn't mean we will not hurt. And it does not mean that we will not feel pain. And it does not mean that we will not cry. And it does not mean we will not struggle. It does not mean that life will sometimes be very painful and hurtful to us. To trust in God, to believe in God, does not mean you will never cry. To trust in God does not mean you will never hurt and feel pain. To trust in God does not mean you will never just feel discouraged and sad at times. To trust in God does not mean that you're suddenly going to rise up and just be this wonderful thing that will never feel the pain. Folks, we are human beings. We're not robots. We are human beings that can feel hurt and can feel pain and can cry and can be discouraged and to be down and to be bothered and to be upset. We are human beings. And in these words, I see Joseph as a man who was suffering, who now even 11 years later is trying to find a way to get out of it. And said, please tell Pharaoh. I've had a rough time of it. I've been without a job for 11 years. Please, would somebody help me find one? Somebody hasn't been nice to me now for 11 years. Would somebody please help me? What I want you to see, do you feel the pain he felt? I want to encourage you today. You're a human being. You're not a robot. You can hurt. You can feel pain. You can suffer. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. And that doesn't mean that God hates you. And that doesn't mean God is not with you. God was with Joseph every step of the way, but God knew he hurt. Now, second thing I want you to notice is look, if you will, in chapter 41. When Joseph has now interpreted the Pharaoh's dream, all is well, and now he's been brought, and he's been made second in command. He's been given a wife, and now he has a child. So this is approximately 2 years later, 13 total years, and now the Lord has blessed him and made him vice president of the country. And now he has a wife who's been given to him. And now time has passed and he's now doing okay and has children. And this is what he says beginning in verse 51. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God said, he hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Now, this is a common occurrence of what they did. They named their children out of certain circumstances. But you know, I can imagine, Daddy, why did you name me what you named me? Well, your name means, boy, do I suffer. And so I named you, boy, do I suffer. It's a Greek word for, what does it mean, Daddy? It means, boy, do I suffer. That's why I named you that name. Do you see what he did? He felt his pain. But there are three things I want you to notice. The first of all is that he recognized that God had helped him. Notice verse 51. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. This is what he said. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. He said, God has helped me in this process. The first thing is, God does not promise there will be no suffering. God does not promise that you will not hurt. God does promise that somehow by his grace and his mercy, he will help you through. How does he do it? I can tell you simply how he does it. One of his first and major ways is he uses people. You know, folks, when you're going through hard times and difficult times, if it weren't for people, you'd never make it. But God uses people to be of encouragement, to be of comfort to you, to be of strength to you. God uses his word. God uses the truth. God uses all sorts of things. But Joseph said, it is God. And notice what he said. Hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. I'll get to that in a minute. But the point is, God was his strength. You know the old poem you've seen? I love it. I think it's in my office. It's called Footprints in the Sand. And the two footprints are going along, and there are two sets of footprints. And it's the image of God going with us and walking with us. And then all of a sudden, there's only one set of footprints. And so they asked, well, Lord, where were you then? The Lord says, it was so tough on you, I had to pick you up and carry you. And that's why there's only one set of footprints. I cannot promise you will not hurt. I cannot promise that I will not hurt. The majority of time, God encourages us, and life is not all just one suffering after another. But it does come. But I can promise you that God will take you through, and God himself will help you. Second thing he uses to heal us is time. Notice what he said. God hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Now, I don't think that God gave him Alzheimer's. I don't think that he forgot. Oh, I forgot everything happened. No, I don't think that's what he meant. But I say this, that oftentimes in suffering, time doesn't heal it, because oftentimes you are never healed, but time does make it easier. Because I think the idea is God has enabled me to forget. Not that he forgot and didn't remember it, but let me put it this way. Now that God had taken him through these years, and God had blessed him and encouraged him, it wasn't something now he would remember and think about and be burdened about every single day. Time and God had enabled him to not remember and feel the pain every single day. Time is not a healer. It's God who's the healer. But the whole point is that in the time and the process of God working, God enabled him to live with it better. When my daddy passed away some 30 years ago, I couldn't stop crying. I was a youth director at a church, and I would just sit in the pew for 2 or 3 weeks and just weep and cry. I couldn't stop it. I couldn't stop it. And if I thought about it now, I'd probably cry, but it's not something I think of every day. It's not something that's part of my life every day. Time has changed. It hasn't cured it. There's always going to be pain, but time and God enables you to forget and not feel it as much every single day. When that happened, I felt it every moment and every hour. Today, I don't, because time has changed the suffering, and I don't feel it as much. All I can tell you today is what you may go through, all I can tell you is by God's grace, as time moves along, you'll not remember it as much. It will not hurt as much. It will never go away. I don't think Joseph ever went away because he said, God has enabled me to forget. And I don't think he meant to forget it, never remember it, but I think he meant to forget it as a remembrance every single day of my suffering. It's now becoming a more distant memory. Time is not the healer, but time and God's grace does make it easier. You all know what I'm talking about. Because there's not a person in this room who hasn't felt suffering, who hasn't felt pain, but as you've moved further down the line, you forget it. It's not as much each day. It hasn't gone away, and it never will, but it's become easier. And then there's a third thing, verse 52, and the name of the second called he Ephraim, and this is what he said, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. God himself heals us. Time makes it somewhat easier, but also a change in circumstances make it easier. I and you have known suffering, but I don't know it every single day. Oh, I may know some pains and troubles, but not every single day. There are gaps in which there are blessings. There is goodness. Dr. Burchett used to say, you better make hay when the sun's shining. Do all you can to serve the Lord when the sun's shining, because someday there may be a cloudy day. God sometimes heals by making a change in the circumstances. Things get better. Things are not as tough. Things are not as bad. I can think of trials I've gone through, and they were nightmares, and yet they're a distant memory, and circumstances are not the same, and life has moved on, and there is more encouragement. God will heal your pain and make it easier. There's one other thing I want to notice in all of this. Did you notice that when he asked for Pharaoh, please go tell Pharaoh, the scripture says, we didn't read that verse, says, but when he got back to Pharaoh, he forgot him. He just plain forgot him. But then God gave a dream to Pharaoh. And then the guy, hey, I know a guy that was in prison who interpreted my dream. It turned out true. So he said, get him ready and bring him up here. And then you know what happened. He was made second in command. May I suggest this? In life, you and I are responsible to make choices, to do all we can, to solve as many problems as we can, to work as hard as we can, to be a servant of the Lord, to do all that is our responsibility, but sometimes in the process, you have to trust that God has a better way of working it out. And he will. That does not mean being passive and not doing anything. One of the greatest men in the New Testament was the Apostle Paul. And if you study the life of the Apostle Paul, he set out plans for his life. He knew exactly what he was going to do. And oftentimes he'd say, I've been hindered to come to you for Rome. But that's okay. That's okay. I realize that's just a change in circumstances right now. But I will still make it one day. And he did make it to Rome. But he understood that sometimes as he strived and tried to do things, sometimes there are interferences. Sometimes it don't work out. And you're not going to be able to push it through. No matter what Joseph tried, the guy forgot him. I'd have got on the phone, hey, jailer, would you please tell the idiot that forgot about me? No, he had to trust. God has it under control. I've told you many times, but I will tell you because it's a big thing in my life. When I graduated and planned to go into some other field, I didn't want to be a preacher. And then I realized when I decided to do something else, I'm like, you know, okay, the Lord's calling me. I know I got to do it. No, I didn't feel that way. I knew this is what I need to do. Because I didn't want to do anything else. Everybody said, you got to go to this school. Okay, I'll go to this school. Went to that school, was miserable for a week, came home, It was about a year I just was at home working but not going to school. And to be honest with you, I was a pretty discouraged fellow. Pretty discouraged and going, my goodness, Lord, what's I'm not getting anywhere where I need to go. And I've been criticized because I left this school and you're supposed to go to this school. But the Lord had it all under control. He knew that he was going to send me to the school he sent me to. And he knew that for those 4 years, I would sit under the wisest man who's ever existed, other than Jesus. And he knew that I would be taught how to interpret the Bible that the others were not taught. And he knew that I would, my third year, meet my future wife. So for that year of frustration and trouble and problems, I can understand Joseph. I was one frustrated fella. Lord, what am I going to do? I'm frustrated. I was preaching, but the Lord opened the door. It took a while. I look back now and go, oh, I see the hand of God. But I can't tell you that during the process, I was like, oh, hallelujah, I see God working every day. Oh, my goodness. No. I was doing a little bit of fussing. I remember being in seminary for the second year going, okay, I want a wife. Okay, which one am I going to pick here? None of them picked me, though. I was a little frustrated until God brought the one he knew I needed. See, that's how, what I want to encourage you, is you do all you can do. You make all the choices you can make. But if there's a door that's closed, if there's a problem, if there's a hindrance, step back and look up and go, okay, Lord, I'm like Joseph. I'm going to still be stuck in this prison for 2 years, but you're working it out in your sovereign plan to bring another solution and another way. What I want to encourage you today is, listen, folks, God never will abandon his children. He's with you every step of the way. You just got to walk with him. And even if you fuss and fume like I did, he'll still grab you by the hand and keep dragging you. It's just like a little child, you know, say, come on, let's go. And they, oh, I don't want to go. What do? Tough. You are coming. Don't worry. God's not going to let go of you and say, oh, do what you want. No, God's with you. He's with you every step of the way. He's watching over you. You got to learn to trust him and walk with him. And know that just in the life of Joseph, he's providentially working. And when all is over, guess where you get to go? Heaven. It's all okay. And may God graciously encourage you today. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you for Joseph and his wonderful, difficult life. But in it, we can see a plan and a pattern of how you worked. Encourage us, Lord. We're not in the same situation. We're not the same people, but it's the same God, and it's the same humanity, and it's different circumstances, but it's still circumstances that you will work in our life. Can't explain the tragedies, cannot explain the severe suffering, but it can explain you never abandon your children. Because you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.